Wait, are you saying that a pie would be one of your horcruxes?
Oh!
I mean, from a practical standpoint, that's not a very good horcrux.
No, it's not.
Pie is designed to be destroyed. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Parks and Rewatch. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Joy.
And today we are diving into Season 5, Episode 14, Leslie and Ben.
I love this episode so much!
Yeah, mild spoiler alert, it's a fantastic episode.
I love it.
But, I mean, if chances are if you're listening to this podcast, you already knew that.
Well, yeah. It's a thing.
Oh, it's such a great episode.
I'm also really, really, really excited about the episode of the day plot synopsis. I worked very, 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 very hard on it, so please do it justice.
Okay, so you want me to read it?
I think so.
Okay.
Do it in like a Sinatra-y voice if you can.
Sinatra-y?
Like,
how did Frank Sinatra speak, warm
and,
Emily?
Warm and buttery, like old-timery, wow, old-timey radio.
Warmery and buttery old-timery radio.
Right.
I think this might turn into basically just like smooth jazz.
Yes.
Type
yes,
stuff.
That's the other option. Perfect.
But I'm gonna go with it.
Do it.
An appropriate Leslie acronym. L. Lest you think it only stands for the way Leslie looks at Ben, let me...
Oh, now we're listening to a romance novel. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Let me lecture. Long-time liaison showed love in the limelight. These layman lieutenants labored to create a lavish levity for Leslie and her lad.
Yes, they did. Shoot.
Oh, of course. The objector himself obstinately overturned this opulent omen of overwhelming ovation.
What a schmuck.
The very vigorous was...
That pause!
Small confession, I was gunning to make you laugh with that.
You did it. You did it.
Very vigorous was the vision for this venue to vacillate toward vows amidst the villain's vile ventures. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Andy vicariously visualized, then vexatiously vacated the visual of vehemently capturing violent viceroys, mm-hmm. followed by virtuoso Vicar Chris, valiantly and vigilantly vivifying Andy to vamp on.
That's right.
Even enduring Ethel established the efficacy of this event, employing her earmarking expertise and endorsing Andy and April to engage her as their elder mother.
What does that spell? Love.
Love.
Was made for Leslie and Ben. Are you so proud of me? I'm so proud of myself.
I am very proud of you. You may have created a monster, though, because the urge that I have right now to do the entire episode in that voice is overwhelming.
I don't think I can handle that.
I don't know. I don't know. It should happen, but it's there. I'm airing it. I don't want to just sit on that.
All right. Thank you for sharing. Oh, that was amazing. Everything I hoped. Episode behind the scenes in trivia. IMDb said that the song that Donna is singing as Leslie and Ben walk into their wedding is a selection from the flower duet aria from the 1883 opera. I always Lakme, L-A-K-M-E with a little accent over it. Please correct me if you know the pronunciation. Why don't I look these things up ahead of time? By Leo Delibes. Ugh, I'm shooting my own self in the foot. The aria has been used prominently in movies and on television before, especially during the love scene between Susan Sarandon and Catherine Deneuve in the 1983 vampire movie The Hunger, and in a long-running series of TV advertisements for British Airways. Wow, they go from vampire movies to British Airways.
That's cool. Quite a disparity.
Ron claims he has never willingly been at City Hall past 5.04 p.m. However, in Parks and Rec Eagleton episode, Ron very much enjoyed his dinner movie night at City Hall that Leslie had organized for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The world is on to you, writers. Anne convinces Leslie to go back to the office with her because she has some champagne there, though it's clearly stated in the Boys Club episode, you're not allowed to drink alcohol on City Hall property. But we've also... nobody cares about that rule.
Yeah, that rule has been thrown to the wayside.
Yes, cast aside like as if dirty socks. Time for some dives. We have two up top. White chocolate top hats and stink bombs. And then, because I had so much fun with this, we have more stink bomb reviews in the booths. Prepare yourself. Let's talk about white chocolate top hats. But they just reserved a space for May 16th. And he, Ben, just ordered 200 white chocolate top hats. So I was like, what is this? So Food Network had a recipe for some. But in chocolate, so it wasn't white chocolate, but details. You could totally do them in white chocolate if you wanted. They're basically little cookies that have a marshmallow pressed into their tops before they fully set. And then they're covered, dipped in chocolate and sprinkles.
Wow.
It sounds so good. Some of them had caramels as the base. Some of them has cookies in the had cookies as the base. Either way, you dip it in chocolate. Glory.
Mm. Yeah. Pretty sure a lot of things dipped in chocolate automatically equals glory.
Celery?
Well, funny story. Uh-oh. Someone did a prank at one of our youth retreats years ago. They made cake pops.
Mm.
And in amongst the actual cake pops were several Brussels sprouts that they had dipped in chocolate.
Oh my gosh.
One of my students gets a Brussels sprout cake pop and proceeded to eat the whole thing because he said it was actually not that bad.
Oh, high school students.
Yeah, that might just be a high schooler being a high schooler, but also there may be something to even dipping gross things in chocolate can help them out.
Well, I do have, because I went to Whole Foods this weekend, I do have a box of dark chocolate mini graham crackers.
Ooh.
That I've been nomming on the past few days. So
note for the audio, delish. That was the sound of Joy nibbling a plastic box.
Like as if audio descriptions. Joy lifts the plastic box up to her mouth and nibbles slightly on the left corner. Anyway, time to turn to stink bombs. Why does bomb have a B in it? Second B.
That's a good question.
I should say them bombs for the rest of the
bombs.
Day. Bombs. So stink jam. What? Stink jam? That's funny. So jam chunks a stink bomb vial, and he got them on Amazon. So you can naturally see where we're going with this. So definition from Wikipedia, a stink bomb is a device designed to create an unpleasant smell. They do them pretty well. They range in effectiveness from simple pranks to military-grade malodorants or riot-control chemical agents. I didn't know they were that far-reaching. So how it works. At the lower end of the spectrum, the consumer grade, if you will, relatively harmless stink bombs consist of ammonium sulfide, which smells strongly of rotten eggs. When exposed to air, the ammonium sulfide reacts with moisture, hydrolyzes, and a mixture of hydrogen sulfide, which is the rotten egg smell, and ammonia is released. Other popular substances on which to base stink bombs are thiols, that's interesting, T-H-I-O-L-S, thiols, with lower molecular weight, egg, methyl mercaptan and ethyl mercaptan, the chemicals that give odor to skunks, Ugh. And are added in minute quantities to natural gas in order to make gas leaks detectable by smell. Oh, that was something that I learned when I did the smell episode for Here We Are, is that they add odor to gas so you can smell it. What?
That makes sense.
A variation on this idea is a scent bomb or perfume bomb filled with overpowering cheap perfume smell. That sounds awful. At the upper end of the spectrum, the governments of Israel and the United States of America are developing stink bombs for their use by law enforcement agencies and militaries as riot control and area denial weapons. Using stink bombs for these purposes has advantages over traditional riot control agents. Unlike pepper spray and tear gas, stink bombs are believed to not be dangerous and they're effective at low concentrations. Whoa, I had no clue stink bombs were more than just pranks. Now I know. Prank stink bombs and perfume bombs are usually sold as 1 or 2 milliliters sealed gas ampoule. As a 1 or 2 milliliter sealed glass ampoule, which can be broken by throwing against a hard surface or by crushing under one's shoe sole, thus releasing the malodorous liquid contained therein. Another variety of prank stink bomb comprises 2 bags, one smaller inside the other. The inner one contains a liquid and the outer one a powder. So when the inner one is ruptured by squeezing it, the liquid reacts with the powder, producing hydrogen sulfide, which expands and bursts the outer bag, releasing an unpleasant odor. This is way more complicated than I ever thought.
A lot of chemistry here.
Chemistry. How to make your own. Please don't. But you could if you wanted to. The information's out there on the Googles. You only need 3 materials for this project. The stink comes from the reaction between the chemicals and the matches in the ammonia. While any container that can be sealed will work, a plastic bottle is recommended because it won't break. However, another easy option is to use a plastic zip-top baggie. So you need 20 matches, household ammonia, and an empty 20-ounce plastic bottle with a cap. So use a scissors or knife to carefully cut the heads off of the book of matches. Don't cut yourself. I'm so glad they put that in there. Place the match heads inside the empty bottle at about 2 tablespoons of ammonia, seal the bottle, swirl them around, wait 3 to 4 days, uncap the bottle. After this time, your stink bomb will be ready to be opened. Whew. Uncap the bottle when you're ready to release the stink. So it's kind of like the sourdough of stank. Stank bombs. If you wanted to buy some, this website is definitely not sketchy at all. Oh, I forgot to link it. Boo. I found a website that's selling, quote, military-grade stink bombs that have, quote, special ingredients for, quote, special situations. But according to this website, customers also viewed things like, quote, panic powder and, quote, hellfire and brimstone and, quote, purple rain and, quote, dissolving spy paper and, quote, stain and, quote, D-O-O drops. So sketchy. Legalness. In New Hampshire, in Massachusetts, in Henderson, Nevada, in South Carolina, and Oklahoma City. That's just a couple that I found. Stink bombs are actually against the law.
Wow.
If you want to read the actual laws themselves, I did post them into the show notes. I will just read New Hampshire's. Title 62 of the Criminal Code, Chapter 644, who has time to write or read all of those chapters, Breaches of the Peace and Related Offenses, Section 644, Part 16A, Sale or Use of Stink Bombs. Part 1. In this section, stink bomb means any device designed for the primary purpose of giving off a noxious or offensive odor when used. 2. Any person who sells, barters, lends, or gives to any person a stink bomb, and any person who uses a stink bomb in a public place shall be guilty of a violation. Whoa! And in some of them, it turns into a misdemeanor. So this is a pretty serious thing. So because Jam got it on Amazon, and because he's a Prime customer, I said, well, gee, it sounds like the Prime Day. Prime Day for Amazon reviews. Joe, would you read our first review, please?
Absolutely. This person gave it 1 out of 5 stars. Title, Doesn't Stink, which is funny because in almost any other application, that would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. But in this, it is not. His review says, broke three in my neighbor's car and it didn't even stink. Drove away like nothing happened. I asked him about it and he said he thought his wife farted, but it wasn't bad.
Okay, let's break this down, shall we? You broke three in your neighbor's car. What was the duration of time between when you broke them and when the neighbor got in the car? There's so many logistics here.
I do think what's funny about this review is what's not said. Like, what is the feud between this person and their neighbor that has escalated not to a point of actual violence, but of this sort of comical violence where this is not a nice thing to do. Like, putting stink bombs in someone's car is not a nice thing to do. So obviously you don't like the person, but it's also not straight up vandalism or assault. So I'm really fascinated by what this conflict is and how it has escalated since.
The easy answer is the neighbor who thought his wife farted, their dog keeps going over into the other neighbor's yard and pooping just across the line.
That would be a very real world thing that would make a lot of sense.
It's not super funny, but it's practical. Do you have any thoughts?
I could definitely see that being a reason for wanting to retaliate in kind. If your neighbor's dog keeps coming and pooping in your yard and they refuse to rectify the situation.
Da poops. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next review is 5 out of 5 stars from customer. Title, smells like rotten eggs. LOL, I bought a 36-pack, set off one in the basement, and the smell traveled through to the ground floor. Extremely pungent smell of rotten eggs or farts. One or the other. It's rotten eggs or farts, but not both. Clear a room or dining area or leave on the floor of a vehicle under the mat so an unsuspecting motorist gets attacked by the smell when they step on the floorboard. Who actually has floorboards anymore? Is that a thing? I don't feel like that's a thing.
I think it's a dated term that's just stuck around.
How dare they?
Sorry, I didn't realize you weren't done.
There's one more paragraph. They are small glass bottles filled with what seems like liquid that evaporates on air contact, and the glass needs to be disposed of when the smell's gone so that what may work is wrapping them in a paper towel so the glass can be cleaned up easier when cleaning time comes. Okay, so what did you not realize about this person? They're very practical. I mean, they even suggested wrapping it in a paper towel.
Well, what I realized about this person is it's funny that you use that voice for them because I would read them as not the brightest bulb in the box.
Okay.
Because they chose to test these stink bombs within their own house.
That's totally valid. Yeah. LOL. Bought a 36 pack. Good for you. You get the next one, Joe.
This review is also 5 out of 5 stars. Title, Emergency Evacuation Prank. The review questions do not match product. The small thin bottle seems to disappear. Two of these can evacuate the room. Mm-hmm. Place on floor and step on them. Harmless prank. These are not as strong as the ones in the late 80s and 90s.
Yeah, a lot of these reviews are from millennials who are trying to relive their glory days.
Yeah.
With the stronger stink bombs that have probably been outlawed because the state of California has found them to cause cancer.
Well, I was going to say, when the topic of stink bombs came up, the first thing I remembered was our annual town festival when all the, you know, the people who would do the games, like, you know, people who ran the carnival would come through, mm-hmm. and one of the prizes for all the cheap games you would play were those stink bombs. And so I just remember the street smelling like stink bomb on that day. So makes there's got to be an element of nostalgia here.
I don't understand it, but cool. Here's another one of those nostalgic millennials. Let's see. I'm going to go British. Waste of money. I had got some of these 30 years ago in high school. I sound more Australian. It's fine. Same brand, same vial, everything. Back then, I'd crushed one in the common area and cleaned out half the school because it stunk so bad. Was going to play a joke on my kids and crushed one on the porch right as they were walking up. Nothing. Didn't smell a thing. I got down and stuck my nose to the spot and could barely smell it. These, like M80s and other, quote, dangerous items from the 80s and 90s just aren't as, quote, dangerous as they used to be. You're better off eating a bowl of chili and smelling up the area the natural way. So there's that. You get the next one.
This is interesting because I feel like this person is attributing more credit to stink bombs than they are due. They gave it 5 out of 5 stars, and the title of this review says, "Got a problem? This will fix it."
So many questions.
I feel that that is a wild and irresponsible generalization.
We should try out this hypothesis after you read the review.
Yeah, I can think of several problems just off the cuff.
All right. We'll try it out. That a stink bomb would not fix. Carry on. Just read it.
But the review said, I want you to pick the accent that I do this in. Dealer's choice.
David Attenborough.
I was thinking Attenborough.
Bro!
Do you see that group of stuck-up girls in the nightclub? Will they not get out of your way?
Why are you apostrophe Ari?
Your...
Again, wrong version of your.
Solution. And no, I'm not joking.
So...
Again, these scenarios.
My... Okay, hypothetical scenario. I have a hangnail. Will a stink bomb fix this problem?
I mean, I'm going to just guess no.
Next scenario. Signal is not getting from my microphone to the mixer board. Will a stink bomb fix this problem?
I mean, there's no way to be sure.
Survey says.
But again, I'm leaning toward no.
Something happens and I suddenly have a flat tire. Will a stink bomb fix this problem?
Yes.
Obviously. Survey says. Ding, 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 ding.
I can't get past these scenarios because to me, I guess I've always sort of had a mental picture of the type of people who frequent nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never imagined that type of person as also being the type of person who deals in stink bombs.
Ooh, deals in stink bombs. Joe deals in stink bombs.
Maybe my assumption is just wrong. Maybe everyone who goes to nightclubs is strapped at all times with stink bombs? I don't know. I'm questioning things now.
Yeah, there are so many stories to be uncovered simply by reading reviews of people simply on stink bomb listings.
Yeah, Amazon reviews in general.
Ugh. Okay. This is the last one for Until the Boofs. It's called Perfect Funny Prank. All right. It was some accent thinking.
Paula Deen.
I took these to work and had coworkers blaming each other for passing gas. It got so perfect that two of them got in a fist fight. Both lost their jobs, and one of them is now in prison. Rolling laughing face, laughing crying, laughing crying, laughing crying.
Okay, over under, this review is a made up story.
I think 100%.
But I do love the Ron Swanson-esque energy of this person. because they may have well thought it was getting too chummy around their workplace. And rather than wait for someone to break the coffee pot, they decided to take matters into their own hands.
Totally valid. Totally valid. And y'all just wait. There are more reviews coming your way in the Huckin' Booths. In the Huckin' Booths. There you go. Now it's time for our likes and dislikes where we talk about...
hold on.
What?
Hold on. I just realized something.
What?
In the interest of creating a stink-themed atmosphere for this episode, you may have crossed a line that you did not realize that you had crossed.
Oh.
Because our recording of this episode feels a little adjacent to... I think you know what I'm going to say. The douche.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Oh,
what
you weren't?
I thought you were going to say is you were going to put me in the same category as your brother Jacob playing heave ho when he would fart people out of
chaos.
The finish line.
No, it sounds like the sound effects from Crazy Ira and the Douche Show.
Totally valid. Totally valid.
Oh.
All right. Time for our likes and dislikes, where we talk about what we liked and what we didn't like. Joe, what did you like?
I like the seamless transition from last week's episode.
It's so good.
It's always fun to me when a series that doesn't always go immediately chronologically, I don't know if that's the right word, but that's the only one I could come up with.
Totally.
Where there will be jumps in time that you don't necessarily know how much time has passed. So I enjoy it when shows like that choose to spend two or three episodes on one continuous arc.
Totally.
I think of like some of the paintball episodes from Community and things
I
like that.
I love those so much.
Ah, they're so good. So this sort of has that feel to it where we pick up right from where the last one left off. I also like the jewelry and nails tray.
Of course they go together. They're both metal. So
yeah. There's some nice jewelry in there, but there's also nails.
Better watch out.
I like Andy diving through the window, of course.
Naturally.
I like Ben's reaction to seeing Bucky / Lil Sebastian.
So funny.
I like Andy and April adopting Ethel Beavers as their grandma.
True. That was... ugh. Heart melting.
You seem to be super good at dating.
Obviously.
And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but I loved Ron's ultra suave, perhaps I can be of service. Did you notice that he's like adjusting his sleeves when he comes through the door like James Bond?
Yeah, somebody on one of the articles did point that out, that he was intentionally James Bond like.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Ron in a tux. I'm almost bummed we don't get more of that.
It was beautiful. That's like such a tux, man.
Yeah, he just turned into a smooth operator.
Like a boss.
I like Ben and Chris's friendship moment with the tie and the framed State House letter.
Moving.
I love Anne's move with the dress.
Mm-hmm.
She killed it. That was a... creative, out-of-the-box solution, and a home run.
Mm-hmm.
I love Andy's confusion over who's not supposed to see who before the wedding.
It's so innocent. So Andy, but he remembered in time, so.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. And then my next like is watching this episode in hindsight. It was really easy to see the twist with Jam and the first wedding coming because the cut to the ceremony as they're walking down the aisle is super abrupt, and it would have felt really rushed if this was the actual wedding. That was just That was just sort of an interesting detail. It's been a while since I've watched this episode, and of course I know what's coming.
Right.
But if that had been the actual wedding ceremony, you would have felt like you were missing Leslie and Ron talking before they walked down the aisle, things of that nature. You just sort of jump into the action.
Right. That makes sense.
I like Ron handling Jam. That was a super solid right cross. I mean, you feel the impact of that punch.
Mm-hmm.
I love Leslie's vulnerable moment with Ron, where she reveals that he's filled a fatherly role in her life.
Yeah.
That was just a fantastic bit of acting. It's probably one of my favorite serious moments from the entire series.
It really is, though.
Really well done. Really well acted by Amy Poehler in that scene. It's just great. And then I love Jam's parting. I have five bathrooms.
Five bathrooms.
Oh my goodness. I just love that that's a nod to his IBS.
Right. Like,
that's what makes a house fancy to him, is multitude of bathrooms.
This is my swamp.
I'm going to try to fill that role. It's
oh
not going to go very well, but.
Congratulations. You won.
Hey.
This just means that we need an actual soundboard.
It's true, because I have like three apps right now that I just downloaded. They're not very great. Leroy Jenkins right there.
I like Tom realizing that his prepared ceremony isn't good and speaking from the heart.
Yes. Yes. It was so perfect.
Mm-hmm. I love the flashbacks over Ben and Leslie's vows.
Yeah.
It's just perfectly chosen. All the
really
feels.
Was.
I like the collective relief that Leslie doesn't have her 70-page vows with her.
Oh, it's so true, though.
I mean, so true. It's not even a spicy take that 95% of wedding ceremonies are too long.
It's, yes.
My
100%.
My own included. Like, we were offenders there. It's just let people just do your little thing and just get right to the reception.
Just be done.
The reception's also going to be too long.
Yes. Let people eat food and leave.
Yeah. So I so enjoyed that moment of everyone sighing in relief.
Bless up.
I like DJ Roomba 2.0.
Oh, yeah!
I couldn't hear that one.
Oh, yeah!
Note for the audio, Joy has downloaded several soundboard apps and is having a blast.
I think so. Maybe I am.
I don't know if you noticed, but it looked like DJ Roomba has been updated.
Yep.
In both major aspects of his components. New Roomba and new iPod dock.
I would not expect anything less from Tom.
Yeah. But
because love is fleeting. Things are forever.
Things are forever. I just realized it feels really weird to say iPod dock.
Yeah.
Because iPods aren't really a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And now we just need Apple to play along with USB-C and all shall be well with the world.
Well, that's one step closer to the universal power thing I talked about in our last episode of the Hugging Booths. I like this quote from Andy. Close only counts in horse grenades.
Yeah, boy!
It's a saying because if you're playing horseshoes and then you throw a grenade at a horse, it doesn't have to be that close and you can still blow the horse's legs off. It's from the movie Seabiscuit.
I tried looking that up and I only found Andy's quote.
Do you know what he's referencing?
No.
The quote is close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Okay. Yes, I do know. Yes.
Yeah. And then there are various amendments to that quote. I've heard close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and shark attacks.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and junior high dances. I've heard a few more, but that's what comes to mind.
Wow.
I like Chris encouraging Andy.
Yeah.
I like 5,000 candles in the wind coming back. And what was funny to me is it was basically in that context a worship song.
Yes, it was true.
So funny.
Totally true.
And I love the quick shot of Leslie not being able to handle the emotions and doing the I can't handle it hand thing. I love that so much. I like the quick shot of Ben and Leslie in front of the wildflower mural.
Yeah. It's so
that
cute.
Was a great. This episode just, it packed the emotional punch of a physical right hook from Ron.
It really did.
I like Ron being the only one besides Ben and Leslie who's still upright at the end of the night.
Of course he is.
I love that detail because it's consistent with the lore. We've established mm-hmm. that Ron has an incredible tolerance for alcohol.
Right.
And so just that little detail of everyone being passed out on the floor and then Ron being upright at his desk, totally mm-hmm. fine, mm-hmm. is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like the post-credit scene of Ron forging Ben and Leslie's rings.
It's so brilliant.
I love that it's just interspersed with his commentary about it's no big deal. Anyone can do this. People who buy things are suckers. So that's what I liked. What did you like about this episode?
I love the recap at the beginning, like the let's get married tonight. I just had all the feels all over again. It set the stage perfectly. I was totally ready to go. And then I liked that the parents weren't there. I like that Ben and Leslie have code names for each other with Falcon and Turtle Dove. And then the whole like, hey, there's your butt. That was funny. I love the team stepping up so much. I love Anne's quote of, I'm perfectly calm. I feel like every crazy thing Leslie's made me do has been like a drill. And today's the real thing. I'm ready because I have the greatest teacher in the world, Leslie, who's crazy.
It was perfect.
And, yeah. I love Andy's innocence of, I got a guy who works at City Hall. That guy's my wife. And I love Ron agreeing to walk Leslie down the aisle. And it's the first time he won't regret walking down the aisle. Ron, you said so much with saying so little.
Mm-hmm.
I love the jewelry and nails tray. I like April stealing all the marriage licenses because she doesn't want anyone else in this town to get married because it makes it less special for them. I like all the Indiana celebrity lookalikes. So funny. And the Lil Sebastian lookalike. And then Jerry, poor guy, but also so funny. He beat his pants a dab. Oh, poor guy. And Jerry's ordained. Why am I not surprised? But that's great. I love the moment of the sign where maybe it's too much, but no. Then it starts foam snowing on the set because, you know, those are actually very small bubbles. And it's him. It's Lil Sebastian in the flesh. And actually, it's Bucky. He's a licensed Lil Sebastian impersonator. No, it's Lil Sebastian. And I love that they charge $200 a pop for a picture. This lore is amazing.
Yeah, right.
I love that April and Andy convinced Ethel to play along. And it's after 10 p.m. Ethel's already been asleep for 4 hours. And I love the boyfriend being like, Ethel, is it robbers? Like you would walk out and yell that.
Yeah. Is it robbers?
Is it robbers? No. And I love her honesty to April and Andy of like, I'm not married. I'm on a date tonight. It went well. He's sleeping over. And she says it like it's literally nothing at all.
Uh-huh.
And her obvious annoyance at Ben and Leslie of, they dragged me out in the freezing cold once so they could tell each other I love you. It was annoying. And then when they say, can we adopt you as your grandma? And Ethel's like, fine. As she's closing the door and they're like, love you, grandma.
Oh, man.
I love Ron's ring crafting. He's just like, what do I work with? Oh, how about this wall sconce? But there were no wires attached to it. Feels a little weird. I love that, you know, casually he removed the sconce, fired up his grandfather's torch, heated up the pieces in a cast iron bucket, liquefied the metal, poured it into a mold, kept it over a flame to achieve a nice temper, cooled it in antifreeze, and just forged and shaped the rings. Obviously, any moron with a crucible and acetylene torch and cast iron waffle maker could have done the same. Whole thing only took me about 20 minutes because people who buy things are suckers. I love Jerry's delivery of Tom's note cards. So bland, so perfect, so Jerry. I love Chris's gift to Ben. I love Anne's thoughtfulness that she put into the skirt. I love Andy covering his eyes just to be safe. I love that of all the people they could have chosen to deliver the message of, okay, we're ready for you to walk down the aisle. I love that they chose April. Like, she's one of the least heartwarming characters, but yet at the right time, she can be one of the most heartwarming characters. And I absolutely love it.
Mm.
Ron walking Leslie down the aisle. Chillingly beautiful. And then his quote after he punches Jam of, I'm sorry, Leslie never presented a bride on her wedding day, so I'm not 100% sure of the duties involved, but I don't think you're supposed to punch a man in the mouth during the service. And I love that he did that. He's just, Ron, he's just this little squishy part in my heart. It's just for Ron. I love that April hops into an accent and immediately starts playing off of Andy as the captain, because the subject is a psychopath. He chopped off both of his arms so he wouldn't leave any fingerprints. It's just... And the wedding. I think I screamed in this one, so you have to read a couple of them.
Okay. Am I reading the title of it?
Yeah.
The wedding, stop! I can't even!
You know, Ron's never willingly been there later than 5:04. But before we go inside, I'd like you to say something. I would like to say something. You are a wonderful person. Your friendship means a lot to me, and you look very beautiful. You're cute.
OMG, I am actually crying. Stop.
That's me keyboard banging while I'm crying.
The crew pulled it off. Oh my gosh.
And Donna's singing and Champion is there.
The star filter on the camera.
It was beautiful on the candles. Did you see that?
Tom has 20 minutes of hitch quotes before he even says Leslie's name.
I forgot to take caps lock off for that one.
I was wondering. I was like, Joey was really that excited. Okay. I mean,
nope,
sure.
And I wasn't going to retype it. So.
Mm-hmm. I was like, does she really like hitch her? I'm
pretty sure I've never seen it. So cool.
Oh, that's so good.
Champion's the ring bearer. And April's the power girl, and Tom keeps it short and sweet. I love everything about it. And there's something that resonates with me so strongly about each of their vows, where, like, the line from Ben of, he came here and realized that this whole time he was just wandering around everywhere looking for Leslie. Ah, stop. And Leslie's part of, the things that you have done for me to help me, support me, surprise me, make me happy, go above and beyond what any person deserves. You're all I need. I love you and I like you. Cue tears all freaking over again, because holy schmoly, like, this is what love looks like in so many ways. And there's just no way I cannot yell about it, because oh, I love it. And
yeah,
my family is probably downstairs like, what the heck is she doing?
As far as TV weddings go, it's the one by which all others are measured, pretty much.
Yeah, I love it so much. And because of this show, I started texting my friends, I love you and I like you. And we do that in my family anyway, because, you know, family-wise, you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can technically love somebody but not like them. Or vice versa. But I just want you all to know, and Joe, you too. I love you and aww. I like you. I pick you as my co-host forever.
I love you and I like you too.
I'm going to start crying all over again.
By the way, we got your coaster today.
My what?
Was it not a coaster? I was seeing it in laying
oh,
on
it's
the
not
counter.
A coaster.
Oh, for some reason I thought coaster. Maybe it was the rounded edges.
No, put it up. It's a hanging thing. Okay. It's a picture.
I will not use it as a coaster.
Don't do it. Our faces will blur together and we will be one entity inseparable from the running ink. Which, I mean, wouldn't be awful.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a nice metaphor.
Well, you can't get away from me now. So I love that Jerry pronounces them husband and wife. And then I literally just had to pause it and sit at my desk and just cry for a little bit. Because I just felt all the feels and I'm trying so hard to like let myself feel the feels when I'm feeling them. And it was so good. So then moving on with my likes, the energy's downhill from here. I love Chris turning into dad mode and cheering Andy up. I love Andy's line of, if it weren't for Leslie Knope, none of us would be here. It's so true though. And then this song, which is for Lil Sebastian, is for you. And then Donna sings it.
Mm-hmm.
And JJ's there past midnight catering it. And Tom and April made a scrapbook. Stop it. Like, I literally had the tingles. I love it so much. And then when you're in love, everything seems like a sign. And Leslie loves her husband and her job and her friends. And even though they can't really handle their booze, and that was the perfect camera reveal. Suddenly, pull out. Everybody is passed out. And then the beautiful subtlety of Ron just like saluting them on the way out made me so happy. I do have a mid-like, and it is Jam. And there
I'm
are
just
some
proud
points
of you that
have.
He made it into any kind of your likes.
Well, you know, mid-like will do. It's kind of like lukewarm, tepid. I don't like the word tepid. He's that.
We'll file that one away with Ream.
Good. His chanting is so funny. No one wants a park here. Parks are stupid. Really, champ? That's all you can do. And then when he turns to the lady and says, "Hey, butter teeth, what's up? I can fix those chompers for you. Just come to Jam Orthodontics."
So gross.
Who would respond well to that? In what world? Why are you calling me butter teeth? Are they melting? Are they glossy and yellow? Is it because I have too many dairy products in my day? Why are you calling them butter teeth? So many questions. He's totally drunk, which I'm not a fan of. Yep. And then I love that the megaphone belongs to his aunt. That's such a fun little detail. And he's like, I better get that back. Gonna take it back to my aunt. And I'm pissed when Jam ruins the beautiful moment of Ron taking Leslie down the aisle. Like, come on, dude, for reals. And all he can think of is adding boo to a song. Be more original if you're drunk. Come on now. And then Ben just being like, dude, what are you doing? Jam's being like, I'm being awesome. Boo. Boo, Leslie, boo. Like, really? Really? Why wasn't there a mob? Why didn't everybody mob him? That would have been fun. It's very interesting that drunk Jam reveals he would have got a cut of the paunch burger.
Yes.
I feel like that could be used against him somehow. Because I feel like there should be a rule about councilmen like getting a cut of.
Oh, there is. It would be a conflict of interest.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. He tosses 2 stink bomb vials. How dare he? And then he hits Ron. Ron was amazing. He's like, I'll give you that one. And he takes it and he gives Jam the chance to de-escalate. And one punch. Goodbye, Jam.
Yep.
And then April. Yay, best wedding ever.
You ever heard that saying that like if there's a fight between us, there's gonna be 2 hits? Me hitting you and you hitting the floor.
Well, I will run away.
That's I feel like that's Ron is one of the few people who could get away with saying that.
100%.
Given the power he's packing in that arm.
Yeah. I feel like, what's the councilman that Leslie always, Hauser. I feel like Councilman Hauser could do that as well. He's so restrained about it.
He's got a dangerous air about him. I can see that.
He's pretty solid. And then my last mid like about JM is the, you seen my house? Five bathrooms. Five. And I don't know. I'm so conflicted on him from a comedic standpoint, funny from a human standpoint, utterly sad. And I feel tepid.
I thought you said you didn't like that word.
We filed it away. It's appropriate in this moment. What did you dislike, Joe?
Just a few things. I dislike Jerry saying that he peed his pants just a dab. I don't like that word in the context of pee and pants. Oh my goodness. My next dislike is that I'm directly addressing Tom here. Jerry wasn't the problem.
True.
Your words were not beautiful.
Preach it.
And then this dislike has nothing to do with the actual show. And I know you're going to talk about this too. We need to talk about it.
We do.
Peacock's ads are getting out of hand.
Seriously.
And I actually wrote that before I wrote the second part. Then there was a break where I was watching the episode more, doing more show notes. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote the second part, mm-hmm. adding on to it, which was that going right from the Parks Department mm-hmm. wedding scene to an ad for Halloween Kills
yes.
is a little jarring, even for me.
A little.
That's just so different.
I don't like it.
So... yeah, we'll talk about that more in your dislikes, but Peacock's ads need to rein it in.
For real, so just stop. Can we put some of our Patreon money toward upgrading to no ads or something?
Yeah, that's one of my, I'll say it's a karate chop, I guess. That's one of my karate chops to Peacock is we're already paying.
I know.
And we still have ads. It's so dumb.
It's extremely dumb.
Yeah.
Subscription model needs to die.
It does. I think it's on its way there because DirecTV is already doing the thing where they're advertising, get your live TV and your streaming all in one. So we're basically just looping mm-hmm. all the way back around to cable. The mm-hmm. pendulum is swinging back the other way.
Sigh.
Mm-hmm. Sigh, indeed. So what did you dislike about this episode?
Leslie's first hesitation to getting married tonight is just because they ordered chocolates 3 months ahead of time. Shouldn't that be cancelable? And her dress isn't done 3 months early and she's ticked about it. And first of all, if her dress is somewhere to get alterations, why would it be at Anne's house? Did they break in and get it? Did they?
I'm assuming so. But also, I'm going to do something I almost never do. So I want this on the record. I'm going to jump in and defend Leslie a little bit here.
Oh, do it.
Because, I mean, I don't know what Leslie's Enneagram number is, but I'm married to a 6 on the Enneagram. And so I can say with confidence that if something big like this were going down and I'm suggesting or... you know, pulling Crystal along on this big mm-hmm. spontaneous thing, a detail as small as chocolate ordering would be something that to a 6 brain would be like, but we did this.
Yes.
But that's messing up this thing.
You're right. You're right.
I don't often jump in to go to bat for Leslie in situations like this, but I just did.
I acknowledge. Thank you. And the healthier I get, the more I realize, yeah, I can pull that up and I can drop it on a list. And that's a phone call.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. It's a phone call. Great. Anyway, I acknowledge. I don't like that there's only 2 hours to do everything in.
Mm-hmm.
That feels very stressful to me. And we're back to being a 6. And then Ben wanting Leslie to take his name. I can't tell if he's serious or not. But like,
I don't think he was, for the record.
His face looked serious. And then he was kind of like, at the end.
I think that was totally a Ben joke.
Okay. I did do a little bit of research into taking names and all of that. And I was like, I'm not interested enough in this to be able to present it. So moving along. Basically, that's what the patriarchy does. the woman in history is now the property of the man. So she takes his name and yada, 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 yada. So that's that story.
I mean, just to defend like the other side of that a little bit, I do feel like I don't care. Like, I don't think of Crystal as my property. But I think there's something special and significant if, you know, I mean, if she's cool with it, like if she had wanted, I mean, I could envision a situation wherein she's an only child, which she is. So if she had said, look, I really want to keep my last name, you know, I would have been totally cool with it. But I also think there's something special and significant as far as like not only like two people becoming one, but also the way my family welcomed her in and could say like, you're a Patterson now, you know, you're part of this crew. And to quote Jacob, like one time when she was like, oh my gosh, your family. He's like, you chose this. We didn't get to choose.
Snap, Jacob.
See, and this is fun because now you know him, like you've met him in person. So you get an extra level of meaning from these stories.
Sassy, amazing human.
Speaking of which, Andy is here tonight. He is bummed that he did not get to meet you. But part of the reason I was late is because I was providing him directions to the pie, which I did put in the freezer.
I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
I even messaged him the other day and I was like, Andy. And he was like, ha, 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 hi, what? And I was like, did you get pie? Did you do it? Did he do it? I told him.
Well, the thing is, this is just Andy. Okay, so he didn't. His quote to me tonight was, well, she messaged me asking if I had gotten to try it yet, and I was prepared to lie because I didn't know if you had saved me a piece or not.
Thank you, Andy, you precious soul.
So he won't have to lie. We did put him a piece in the freezer. Although, take this as a compliment, it was hard.
Because I'm proud of you.
I did not want to put the last piece in the freezer. I wanted to eat the last piece.
Thank you for respecting my wishes.
It was the best pie I've ever had.
Feels like I just died. Like, thank you for respecting my last wishes and giving Andy a piece of my pie.
Ghost pie.
The last living piece of my soul.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, my last
Are you saying that a pie would be one of your horcruxes?
Oh.
I mean, from a practical standpoint, that's not a very good horcrux.
No, it's not.
Pie is designed to be destroyed.
If I was in a very weakened state and that's the only thing I had. I think a Lego would be my horcrux. Maybe one of my water bottles.
That makes both those things make a lot more sense. But it's just now I'm imagining somebody like Voldemort having like six of these very effective horcruxes and then just like an oatmeal cream pie or something.
In a certain package of, well, no, it would probably be a Twinkie because Twinkies are supposed to last forever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or it would be McDonald's French fries.
Ooh.
Things that would last test of time.
That's brilliant, actually.
Or maybe a paunch burger, lard bomb.
Ooh.
Because I bet the preservatives in those are pretty high.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Wow.
Anyway, that was fun. No, do you know what would be a horcrux?
What? No, I know what you're going to... you brought it into the frame.
The crocheted pen of doom.
The evil flower pen was born to be a horcrux. I'm not convinced it's not already a horcrux.
I am handling it very gingerly.
It looks like it is reaching out towards you. Don't bring it closer to yourself.
Reachy love fingers.
No. When the flower has them, they're not loving. They are reachy, but they're not loving.
Reachy strangulation devices.
Love to kill you, maybe.
Okay, my last dislike is Peacock interrupted my mushy feelings with a manly Ram Power ad. And then Jake from State Farm just freaking ruined my mood.
Right?
I'm ticked off.
I mean, how much money do you think State Farm has given to Peacock? Like how much in financial bed together do you think they are?
Mm.
Because Jake from State Farm is essentially the patron saint of Peacock at this point.
Patron saint of Peacock. Is this where I kind of sheepishly say I was a State Farm customer before Jake from State Farm, and now I'm kind of ashamed of it?
I mean, I don't know. We're through State Farm now, and I love the company, but they need a new thing.
It's time, everybody. It's time. Let's go ahead and just segue and go to the Coronation, the Beautiful Rule Breaking Moth, the segment in which we choose one specific thing that was the breakout star of the episode. Joe, what was yours?
Mine's the office wedding ceremony. It's so great. It's mm-hmm. one of the best moments in the series. I think also specific to that particular Parks and Rec magic. Mm-hmm. It sort of reaches a crescendo here where it's able to bring back those feelings mm-hmm. on multiple rewatches in a way that I don't think many other sitcoms can do.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you were saying that, I remember from a previous episode when you talked about when they do have music on Parks and Rec, it's like very intentional,
yes.
and it does something. And I think about the two songs in this yes. episode, and they did, well, three. The park, we're gonna build it, the park, whatever, that song's here or there. But like the aria and By Lil Sebastian, mm-hmm. like, ugh.
Yes. And I like that this starts the theme of 5,000 Candles in the Wind
yes.
being used because it started as a ripoff. Like it started mm-hmm. as a song that was something else that got rewritten to be. I almost stumbled on
we
rewritten again.
Episode one.
I love that it started as a song that was not for Lil Sebastian mm-hmm. that was rewritten to be for him. Now that song that was stolen from its original purpose to be for Lil Sebastian gets stolen to be not really for Lil Sebastian in other yes. contexts. It's so good.
Absolutely. Mine is the wedding ceremony in the Parks and Rec office. It's literally everything all at the same time. And I cried, and it was worth my tears. Full stop. And now it's time
for the shaming
of the cherry. Part of the show where we shame one particular thing for bringing the episode down or being unnecessarily annoying. Joe.
Don't have one.
Okay. Well,
yep. It's a great episode.
Oddly enough, mine is Jam not having anyone to care about. Like his loneliness really shows through in this episode. And that does not mean I'm empathizing with him. I'm just pointing it out. And he's the Debbie Downer of this episode. That's
I
all.
I know that you put that caveat in there for me. I'm on to you and I love it.
I feel very uncomfortable. That was a vulnerable thing to say. Oh, and how are you holding space? You're scheming. You showed scheming hands. Whatever. It's fine. You'll probably win me over in the end anyway. I know you will. But let me fight while I can.
You fight. You fight. I hold space for your fighting.
Uh-huh. Introduce the next segment.
And now it's time for the awarding of the Lil Sebastians, the ceremony in which we rate each episode. Again, you know what we do.
There's a thing,
Joy,
there's some numbers.
How many Lil Sebastians would you rate Leslie and Ben?
It's that scene from A Christmas Story when Ralphie's teacher reads his little essay and then they do the pluses. A plus, plus, plus all the way around the room. It's a five. Plus, plus, plus. Oh, Ralphie. Oh, plus, plus. Yes. What about you?
Perfect. I also rated this episode a 5.
Oh!
Which means that this episode is officially inducted into the Parks and Rewatch Hall of Fame. Of course it was. Was there ever any doubt?
No.
Was there ever any thought that this episode was not going to be a Hall of Famer?
Mm-mm.
Absolutely
not. The only thing that thought that was the evil pen.
Yeah. The evil pen can suck it.
That's right. Evil pen. You just sit over there with the tight stick.
I like that you have the evil pen paired with the tide stick because it's like dark and light, like bouncing each other.
Well, yeah.
One takes life, the other restores it. One does damage, the other removes it.
Just trying to, you know, live a balanced life.
That tide pen is probably the only thing that's kept you safe.
Thank you, Tide Pen. You have saved my life more than Jake from State Farm.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway.
And now it's time to ask that all important question. As always, this segment's for episodes where the character is not featured. We speculate where he might be and what he might be doing. Joy, what do you think John Ralphio is up to during the events of Leslie and Ben?
So I think after last week's failed attempt for John Ralphio to get another insurance check, the gang is trying to scrape together some dollars to cover John Ralphio's hospital bills. So they scavenged up all the nails they could find and hawked them off at the pawn shop and made about $5, which is a big deal considering no actual words were spoken by the raccoons in this exchange. And it was also the big comeback of the four-stack trench coat endeavor. The raccoons made peace with each other, and this is part of the training regimen for the elite raccoon raiders, and only the most coordinated efforts make it past the initial vetting process. So they're playing it hard, y'all.
So I saw you wrote the elite raccoon raiders.
Oh, God.
And I was like, there's got to be a catchier name for the raccoon special forces.
Okay.
So it's like, maybe we could go off of, you know, how a group of crows is called a murder, things like that. So I was like, I looked up, what is a group of raccoons called?
Uh-oh.
Not sure it fits.
I'm
where
so excited.
The
what
theme
is
of this is going, a group of raccoons is called a nursery.
They could be called like the nursery rhymes, and all of their ransom notes are left in rhyme.
Ooh.
A nursery.
So yeah,
who comes up with this?
Raccoons is called a nursery. I don't know.
The more you know. All right, where do you think he is?
I think that he was going to try to crash the Parks Department wedding. But due to general incompetence, wound up in the sewage department offices instead and proceeded to spend the evening bouncing terrible business ideas off of an unfortunate sewage department employee who happened to be working late.
Well, that shift ended differently than he thought.
So, on that note, it is time for Johnny Karate's Karate Moves to Success, an inspirational segment in which we apply the karate moves to success in our own lives. Joy, what would you like to karate chop this week?
Gray days. I like days when it rains. Like, that's good. Like, let's nuzzle up, turn on some cozy lights, get a warm beverage. Like, that's a mood. I like sunny days. Because there's also a mood for sunny days. But the mood for gray is gray. And it's very hard for me to get motivated to do things on days that are gray. So that is my chop. What about you?
I would like to karate chop the state of content creation.
Where is this state?
I don't exactly know how this kind of occurred to me, but I think I was doing something like uploading one of our videos for patrons onto YouTube. And I just realized I am barely on YouTube anymore to consume anything. And I used to love YouTube. But I feel like the content on social media these days is just, it's so manufactured for algorithms
You're absolutely right.
It's just not what it used to be. Not to be one of those nostalgic people, but I think if you're at all familiar with YouTube, you know it used to be one thing. Now mm-hmm. it's something very different. And I feel like the victim of this shift is creativity.
Yeah. At least you're not the type of nostalgic that goes and buys stink bombs. And
you never know. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they can fix all my problems.
Those crazy millennials and their stink bombs.
So who do you want to be nice to this week?
My cousin recommended a game for the Switch to me, and I have spent way too much time on this game, which means I really enjoy it, and I hope you would too. It's called The Return of the Obra Dinn, O-B-R-A-D-I-N-N. It's fascinating. It's you're, oddly enough, an insurance agent, and you go into this boat that has seen days. And so you're basically reverse engineering all of the stories of what happened to all of the people on the boat. So it's kind of like a big, huge scale, multi-level layer of game of Clue.
Okay.
And I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Have mm-hmm. you finished it yet?
No, but I've definitely stayed up till midnight the past two nights.
And that's can you let me know if the final boss is Jake from State Farm?
I will let you know. It's either Jake from State Farm or the Evil Pen.
Because that would be an unexpected plot twist. But you can't expect State Farm to be there when it matters. Ah!
Oh! And I can't fix this one with a stink bomb. Oh. So, what about you? Who are you going to be nice to?
It's funny because I feel like we're kind of trading places on this one.
Okay.
But mine is not like a TV recommendation or something like that. It's more of a joy moment. Aww.
It feels?
Yeah, it feels.
Good so, job.
I was recently in a dealership that we have bought cars from in the past, and it just brought back memories of someone I haven't thought of in a while. He was a man who used to work in their service department that we mm-hmm. became friends with. He's not there anymore, but while he was the most incredible person to work with. Like, he was always so kind and just a golden retriever of a person. He always went above and beyond to ensure that we got the best service, and he just made every part of the experience a joy. One time I had a 4Runner that was acting up, but it would only make this noise at certain times. And it was one of those things where it would always do it when I was alone in the car. But when I took it to the dealership and mechanics drove with me, it would never do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really frustrating because I knew something was wrong and it was probably going to be bad later, but I never could get it to do it when I went to the dealership. And this guy took on the mission to figure out what was wrong. And he had my own level of investment. Like, he adopted that and he was like, I'm going to figure this thing out no matter what it takes.
That's great.
He was just fantastic, and I think I'm going to try reconnecting with him this holiday season so I can, like, give him a gift or just do something meaningful to let him know how much we appreciated him during that time.
That's fantastic.
And so I wanted to kind of flip that around and ask, who's someone who went out of their way to help you in the past that you could bless with an unexpected gift?
Bless up.
Bless up. Joy,
what are you doing?
Bless us up with that outro.
Hallelujah. L is far away. Leslie looks at Ben. O is for the opera that Rada sings. V is very, very extraordinary. That's definitely the wrong chord. E is knows even more than anyone that you adore and love is all that this team gives to each other. Most of the time, really. I mean, you can't really love somebody all the time, especially when they're that Parks Department, but it's fine. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take Jam's heart, but, you know, please don't break it. Love was made. Why am I, like, freaking out over here? Made for me and you. It's for the way Joe is staring at the screen. Because L and J go together. O is for all of our patrons. O and P, I guess. I'm going for things next to each other, maybe. V is very, very vicarious and organized, like Randy. E is even more than anyone that you adore. Take it away, Joe.
Well, that was not tepid.
You're so funny.
Bless up.
Bless up, everybody. Bless up, Ute.
Anyway, if you'd like more Parks and Rewatch in your life, you can follow us on Instagram. You can join the official Parks and Rewatch fan club on Facebook. All kinds of good stuff going on in there. If you would like more, I feel like I'm
you
not.
Just, you
saying,
want more yeah. of us and patron yep. and interwebs. Yeah. Interwebs and email.
Yeah, you can go to patreon.com/thehuckingboofs. Get access.
Wait, what? You don't go to patreon.com/thehuckingboofs.
See, I'm falling apart here. I'm so sorry, everyone, for my tepid delivery of our outro.
Go to Patreon/.
You can go to Patreon/ParksandRewatch. You can get access to our exclusive.
Isn't it Rewatch Parks?
No, it's Patreon.com/.
Oh my gosh! I'm gonna stop.
We're a heated mess.
What was that? I don't know.
Oh yeah, patreon.com/ParksandRewatch. You can get exclusive access to our after show just for patrons, the Hugging Boofs. You can send us an email at rewatchparks@gmail.com. And if you are enjoying the show, it would mean the world to us if you would leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, because two of us make this podcast, so take our hearts, but please don't break it. Just leave us a review because this podcast was made for me and you. What do we say?
Bye.
Bye. Bye and pie. Now look at every pie like as if it might be a Horcrux. You're welcome.
All of a sudden, defeating Dark Lords becomes a much more pleasant prospect. Just eat every pie in sight.